And I would love to welcome my next guest, Dr. Don Rucker, who's the National Coordinator for Health IT for the Americas, since we have the Chief Americas Officer across me from HIMSS. Dr. Rucker, are you there?
I am, Justin. Thank you. Yeah. Denise, hi.
Hi, Dr. Rucker.
Excellent. Welcome to the show, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I've kind of sang your praises as we came on air here. You're a great proponent of for our industry. You're a great leader. I had the pleasure of working with you in my early days with the EHR Association. I think you were with Siemens at the time, and appreciated everything that you've given to our industry and you continue to do for our industry. So thank you, Dr. Rucker.
Thank you.
So what do you see? I guess the floor is yours. But what healthcare or health IT trends are you seeing in the industry, or would you recommend that that you have people navigate here for my audience?
Yeah, I think the big trend really, and it's way further advanced in the rest of the economy than it is in healthcare, is the repurposing and reimagining of services. Using application programming interfaces. So in the broader economy, you know, this is at the heart essentially of the modern web economy, right? It is having all of the parties connected relatively seamlessly through application programming interfaces, right? This is what makes it possible for you to, you know, use Uber or Lyft, right? Where you have the map API and the traffic API and the credit card API and the customer API and the driver API all coming together, or even, electronic, online retailing, somebody like Amazon, where they have online networks of, literally hundreds of thousands of vendors that they're hooking up and then communicating with the transportation infrastructure. I think we are at the early part of seeing that type of economy start moving into healthcare. The 21st Century Cures Act, requires that on the consumer side that providers will give consumers right to their information through a modern API. And I think it is also going to happen, more broadly, even beyond the rulemaking. So that, I think, is the big trend. It has revolutionized, much of the rest of the economy. I think healthcare is ripe for that, heavily networked, codependent type of world. And especially because there are demands really from everybody, given the expense of healthcare, to overlay and provide, fundamental transparency on both prices and, the product, if you will, or the service. So I think when you put those things together, you put the technology of transparency together with, a national outcry for transparency, I think those things are going to redefine the opportunities in healthcare. So that's what I would throw out there, Justin.
Yeah, no, I agree. And each of my guests so far have brought up components of what you just spoke about. So, I mean, from the standpoint of the importance of interoperability, the importance of having that data transferred securely, electronically, and seamlessly, and then also the price transparency. I mean, the example that I brought up, Jeff Brown, a CIO here in Atlanta of Piedmont Healthcare, asked me, when's the last time I traveled? And I said, yesterday. And so literally, everything was done digitally and through APIs. I mean, the Delta, my Delta app, I booked my ticket, paid for my ticket, scheduled everything, my flights. So when I landed, Hertz had my car ready. And then I jumped in Lyft and or Uber also. So, I mean, literally, I'm using all those digital applications. APIs are integrated into all of those technologies and innovations. And we deserve that in healthcare. And so I completely agree with where you're going and what you said in your advice there. So, diving in a little bit deeper, and again, I know that you're coming from the policy side here. What are two or three best practices or strategies or policies, would you share to help others navigate some of those trends that you spoke about and that we just spoke about?
Yeah. So from a policy point of view, obviously we have a rule, you know, that is, you know, in process.
Yes.
We've got 2,000 public comments. We're going through those comments and are going to have a rule requiring providers to have application programming interfaces so patients can get their clinical data in a very secure way through what is called OAuth 2. So they're going to have a secure way. The patients have to log on to the provider. So I know there's been a lot of discussion about somehow patients would, you know, that people would just somehow get the data. That's not at all true. This is 100% directed by the consumer. So that's in our rule. There are provisions enforcing that and the affordability of that through information blocking and the allowed exceptions, because Congress and it's law that information blocking is not allowed, and the assumption is that consumers are going to get the data. So that's the policy. The flip side of that is, you know, for providers and for your audience to think about, how am I going to provide services in that world? You know, how am I going to be an entrepreneur? How is my, you know, delivery system, my service, how am I going to make those richer products that you just described on your travels yesterday, yes, right? And that seamless, the theme, interesting enough, of what you described there is, I think, something that is called co-production.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you make your reservation, you print your ticket, you tag your luggage type of thing. You know, we haven't really had co-production in healthcare.
Right.
Right. In co-production in healthcare, you know, we term with a sort of a bit of a funny phrase, which is patient engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a strange concept when you think about it. Right. In every other sphere of our life, we're automatically engaged.
Yes.
Right? We don't need to talk about patient engagement to go to the supermarket or the movie or to travel, right? It's only in healthcare where we've had these third parties, third party payment systems have separated patients in many, many, many ways from control and knowledge of their healthcare. We think these APIs and, in fact, new services, new opportunities will re-engage them. So I would say for your audience to really think about, what do APIs mean for you? What services are, you know, do you want to, you know, coexist with, work with, layer on in that sort of very consumer-driven, automated world? That would be a big suggestion.
Yeah. No, I love it, and I completely agree. And we're talking about that even before we came on air, about how, there's health plans now that this is all integrated into one package. It's like a membership. You get full virtual care. You get full telehealth. You can go see your doctor in person. It's not even reimbursed. It's just part of your plan. It's just part of your care. It's a new model of healthcare. It's not kind of that older world. And I'm excited to see it. I'm seeing how, you know, healthcare is evolving, and we're seeing how these new models are being rolled out, and all these innovations are just integrated. It's just part of the care plan. It's not a component. It's not, you know, a separate app. It's just how I'm going to seek healthcare. I might see you in person. I might ask you for a secure message back and forth, or I might, you know, ask for a virtual visit, but it's all with my doctor, not some random doctor. It's, you know, my doctor. And I love those innovations that I'm seeing out there. So.
And certainly with APIs, even if it is not your doctor, they will have your information.
Correct.
And more importantly, you will have your information.
Very true.
And you know, the key part here from an economic leverage is this finally, for the, I think, literally the first time in many, many years, truly empowers the American public to shop for their care.
Yeah.
Right? The model where the current delivery system is in many markets, buy up all the competitors,
right,
prevent leakage and set prices for the insurer. I think that model it's very much at risk in a modern competitive economy.
I completely agree. It's excellent. So in our closing few minutes, you know, thinking beyond today, what do you see as a key strategy or trend that we must be ready to successfully navigate in 3 years from now or in the future for healthcare?
Well, you know, I think one, we've talked, you know, obviously over the last 10 minutes about the consumer facing part of it. I think for providers, who I'm guessing are the bulk of folks listening here, I think it's also worth thinking that these technologies will also help make efficiencies on the payment side, you know, on the back office. If, you know, the consumer is the, you know, the front office type, I think they're going to be just as transformative on the back office. We're working with all the large payers on accelerating FHIR through the FAST project and the Da Vinci group. So a lot of the massive friction in the system, the whole quality measure reporting world, the prior authorization world, a lot of this will, I think, go away as we communicate the data in a much richer way so that we don't need these very narrowly scoped solutions such as individual quality measures or, you know, individual protracted discussions about prior authorization. Those are really information flow questions and payment questions. Mm-hmm. You can reimagine that world infused really with a lot more information so that payers and the public will have a lot more accountability through machine learning and big data type of analysis and won't have to engage in these very, very expensive one-off hand-curated activities. So I think the back end, you know, the back office part, the payment part of the world is going to be moving at least as rapidly as the front end consumer part of the world here.
I'd love to hear that. I know that a lot of my audience does as well, because I mean, that even goes to address some of the burnout issues that we've even, you know, that we talked about with Denise here before you came on air. It's just, there's a lot of burden, and we need to help the clinicians as much as we, you know, we need to navigate consumerism. So I completely agree. That's excellent.
Yeah. I mean, we've done, you know, it's actually mandated in CURES that ONC and CMS analyze burden. We've done a number of things with CMS on reporting burden, and we're addressing some of these, you know, more deeply rooted burdens literally as we speak, that, you know, we've just mentioned the prior authorization, some of the quality reporting. Because those, you know, it's interesting, the burden is not, it's often attributed to the EMR. Mm-hmm. It's not fundamentally the EMR. I mean, you could argue about, you know, the quality and usability of some of the, you know, specific interfaces. But much of the burden is really how we've layered payment policies into the EMR workflow. And that's, you know, not a great home for those things. We need to uncouple, you know, we need to get the payment out of the clinical workflow.
And that's excellent. Very good perspective. I agree. Any important dates, Dr. Rucker, that you think we should keep an eye on from your perspective and coming from the ONC or CMS, just for the education edification of my audience?
Well, we are targeting, and you know, rulemaking in DC is a complicated activity.
Yes.
As I am sort of increasingly aware, having come to this a little bit as a citizen from, you know,
correct,
a free roaming citizen for 30 years, who's now a federal policy person for the last two.
Yes.
You know, we're targeting, the administration is targeting end of the year for the ONC and CMS rules to really make the government part of this a reality. The implementation date we're targeting for 2 years after the rule is final. And ultimately, what we're asking for is providers work with their EHR vendors and stand up a highly secure data endpoint. That in and of itself is basically the simple ask. We think, you know, most of the EHR vendors actually already have these in prototype running as we speak today. And that's basically the ask. And, you know, we hope that that will be, we anticipate that will be done in ways that does not create, other than standing up the endpoint, additional ongoing work for providers, that this is, in essence, an automated process. So that those are the timelines we're looking at the moment.
Excellent. Very, very helpful. And it's great work. I mean, you were on the citizen side for a long time where I reside. I've done a lot of policy work, but and I know what it takes and what you're doing on our behalf. And we're just grateful for you and for you and specifically you and your position. You're a great advocate for us. You know what shoes that we walk in as innovators, and then you're balancing that very well with policy. So thank you very much, Dr. Rucker.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, and I think you're going to hear from one of my colleagues here, Steve Posnick, as well.
You got it. Dr. Donald Rucker, National Coordinator for Health IT, and really one of our chief policy people in the industry. So thank you very much, Dr. Rucker. Thank you for joining the show, and have a great afternoon.
All right, Justin. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.